Hey there, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the 704 High School Highlight Podcast. My name is Jeff Taylor, Sports Director here at Bay Hackle Sports. Thanks for taking time to check out our podcast. Of course, as always, make sure you subscribe to it, like, comment, share. You know, you guys are important to us. This is how we succeed, is with you guys following us. So thanks for doing that. Joined today by two very special guests. I have Matt Turse here, Kevin Olson over here, and we're going to get to know them a little bit, get to know a little bit about their upbringing in terms of sports and now what they're doing to kind of further high school sports. So we're going to, thanks, by the way, guys, for joining.
Very Matt, we'll good start to be with here. You. Thank
yeah.
you, Jeff.
Hey, yes. We'll talk with you first. So just talk to me a little bit about growing up. High school sports, how were you involved?
Yeah.
What did that look like?
Growing up, I grew up in Central Florida and was born and raised there basically my whole life, but I was involved just like every little kid in my area with football, basketball, baseball. Of course, we didn't have anything like hockey and stuff.
Right.
But
You do now some.
Well, yeah, they do now. They really didn't have much lacrosse down there when I was growing up. So that's a difference now. But I really gravitated towards playing football. That was my heart and soul. That was my passion. That way, I remember my dad used to tell a story when I was, you know, between 8 and 10 years old, I'd sleep with the football before game night every single night. So, but I really loved it. So I played up through and into the beginning of high school, and then I just wasn't built for it any longer.
Right.
So I went back to my secondary sport, which was baseball. And I actually did pretty well, and I played till I was 18, 19 years old even in baseball. And then I never made it in college or anything like that. And as soon as I turned 20 years old, I had a lot of people saying, have you ever thought about getting in coaching? And my father was a coach for a long time also. But it hadn't really dawned on me that much yet. I'm still in the mindset of playing.
Sure.
So I got into coaching and immediately got involved with the Lyman High School Pop Warner program down there.
Yep.
And became an assistant coach and then ultimately head coach and coached there for probably 10 or 12 straight years. And I started working with the high school freshman team, and my helping at that point was really based on helping an eighth grader become a ninth grader.
Right.
In more than just sports.
It's a big transition.
In life and in football. So I did that, and not to bore you with all the details, but we had a good program down there, and we really tried to make a streamline from Pop Warner into, we used to play on their high school field, so they had to go to all the Friday night games.
Which is what the kids love.
Stuff. They were all in their jerseys to go to the games, stuff like that. And then fast forward 10 years ago, I moved up here. And I had no intention of getting back in coaching, but my son wanted to play Pop Warner, so he got involved over at Mallard Creek, and I was just the dad for a good 4 to 6 weeks, and they asked me to help out, so I helped out, and then the next year I became a head coach, coach there for I believe three or four years, and my son shifted gears again, literally went quarter midget racing.
That's fantastic. And I love that.
He took a break, which shocked me because he loved football as much as I did, but he was really a very gifted race car driver. So we raced up there until last year. He said, Dad, it's time to go back to football as a seventh grader. And again, I think I was telling you earlier, I had no intention of coaching again.
Right.
Went to a parent-teacher meeting or a parent-coach meeting for the football team. Bonnie Cohn Leadership Academy, which we can all talk about later. And the head coach there asked me if I wanted to, you know, be the head coach for the junior high team. So that last year was our first year. We had to work off-site the whole year. The building wasn't built. The field wasn't built. Our practices were at a different location. Every game was on the road. These kids had never been together before.
Anybody's backyard practice?
Yeah, backyard practice, a lot of that. We cow pasture practice, all that good stuff. And it was a big time learning curve for everyone because not only coaching staff, all the kids had never, basically very few of them had grew up together.
Right.
So we all joined forces and we did a good job. We didn't win any games last year.
Hey.
But we did the best we could. And now,
building blocks.
Very excited for this year because now we're at our home, Bonnie Cohn Leadership Academy. We have a brand new field. It is beautiful. And we have, the facilities are getting bigger every day. We're adding stuff to it every day, and there's plans for our field house and everything. So we just started spring practice 2 days ago, and then we'll run into summer, and then we'll get ready for the season. And
where's that school located?
It's in Huntersville.
Okay, it's Huntersville.
Yep.
Got it.
So that's kind of like the very short version.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I'm having a blast doing it again, and the kids, I love the kids there, and you'll be talking to Coach Olson. Blessed to be a friend of his, and he's in the program. So.
All right, Coach. Kevin Olson, so talk to me a little bit about, because, you know, I don't know a whole lot about you, but know a little bit about your brother, but but in terms of growing up, talk to me just about your journey a little bit.
So growing up, I think, you know, I grew up in northern New Jersey, right outside New York City. Played for my father, I have two older brothers, I'm the youngest. We all played for him, kind of grew up in a, what you would say is a football family, right? In a sports kind of oriented family. My father obviously coached for his entire career, 40 years or so, 30 of them at the school that we attended. And we were pretty good. We didn't have the ton of the recruits and kind of that stuff that you see down here, right?
Right.
From Mallard Creek and the Huffs and the Chambers of the Worlds, right?
Right,
we didn't have
sure.
a ton of them. But, you know, we did it the right way and, you know, we played in, what was it, 17 of 19 state champions,
wow.
state championships before he left. I won two myself. And, you know, we were kind of, we did it the right way, right?
Sure,
which
yeah.
kind of, you know, segues into, you know, I kind of saw it for helps my coaching, you know, aspects as I go down the, you know, as I got down the road. But so after high school, I went to University of Miami. Mm-hmm. I played in the Under Armour All-American game, Elite 11, all that kind of stuff out there. And after Miami, I kind of transitioned to junior college out in Southern California, Riverside City College, where we were pretty solid. It was known for, you know, getting guys back out. That was pre-portal.
Right.
Right. So it wasn't, you know, for me to play immediately, or anybody to play immediately, they had to go down to the FCS.
Right, sure.
To be immediately eligible. So I obviously went the JUCO route. We played, you know, we were the number one team in the country. Got beat by, I think, Saddleback or somebody, one of those, like the, you know, semifinals or something.
Right.
And then I graduated and finished up here at UNCC.
Right.
After that, I kicked it around, played in the Spring League for a little bit. We were the first ones to test the new kickoff rule and all those XFL rules that are coming out now.
Not liking it, but we can talk about that later.
Right. We were the first ones to test it.
Right.
Because the XFL was coming out that next year.
Right.
That next season. So we tested all the kickoff rules and the overtime where it was like kind of like
right,
a shootout,
right.
all that kind of stuff. So that was cool. And I always knew, you know, even as a little kid watching my father and watching, you know, coaching was going to be in my future in some capacity at some point.
Sure.
You know, everybody's playing career comes to an end, you know, sometimes
right.
longer than others.
Sure.
You know, and I kind of foresaw that was going to happen eventually. And I kind of knew coaching was something I wanted to do. Not always high school, kind of thought maybe college was going to be my route. But once I got into the high school and kind of saw, you know, the impact that I could have on the young adults, right, and young, you know, our future as a country, you know, is in their hands.
Right, sure.
And I think, you know, having some of the, you know, trials and tribulations and kind of things I've had, you know, to get through in my life, I think I was kind of put on this earth and put in this position to help, you know, the young kids, right, and help young adults get through things that, you know, maybe I made the wrong decision or I know somebody that made the wrong decision and I can help them, right?
Right.
If I can just help one person not make that decision, right? And go to school for free, graduate and all those kind of things, which is really kind of what I feel I was put here for,
sure.
both teaching wise and coaching.
And I think both of you guys mentioned it and I can come back to you with it. I think that, you know, and I coached for 10 years at Pop Warner, never did any high school or anything, but I did officiate. And even officiating,
yep.
you can have an impact on kids.
Oh, no question.
And the way the game is played and stuff like that. But I think that's, you know, to me, that's, I felt was the toughest part of coaching was, you know, you want to win, I get it. But at the end of the day, it's building young men and women nowadays. How tough is it to pull away not wanting to win? You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yes.
I mean, you want to win, but walking that fine line of doing both, that's kind of a tough deal sometimes.
So I will say that I think personally they kind of go hand in hand. I think when you do things the right way, right, and your program is run the right way and led by the right leaders, that winning is a byproduct of that.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
I think that it kind of breeds that kind of, you know, actions, whether it's, you know, for us in high school, you know, to another teacher out in the community, to the administration, to any, you know, leader, how we act towards them. I think all that trickles to being a good football team as well.
Right.
Right. Because, you know, being respectful to the teachers or the refs on the field or anything trickles down to not jumping off sides on fourth down. Right, not jumping off
right.
sides. All that
right.
stuff goes hand in hand. Usually the same students, same kids, even up to the NFL, that are problems off the field are the guys that get you beat on the field. Right? So
right.
if you do the right things
great point.
Off the field, I think that it kind of breeds that success, right? And it breeds that. I don't have a lot of teams off the top of my head that are dysfunctional off the field or as an organization in any capacity that are really good on the court, on the field, on the ice,
right.
on the playing surface.
Yes. No, agree.
So I think that's kind of our, you know, especially that's kind of what we did in our high school at you know, where we came from in New Jersey.
Right.
Besides my brothers and I, a few other people went to like Sacred Heart and a couple of those. We didn't have any, you know, Alabama, Ohio State, you know, but we did things the right way. You know, we weren't going to jump off sides. We were going to be, you know, we were going to be on time. Everybody was on time to meetings, workouts, everything. You know, and I think that bred our success to a degree.
Is that kind of the message that's at your school now?
Yeah,
as you think about coaching,
that's absolutely the message. Especially because we are a startup. You know, we're brand new. And a couple of things over the last couple of years have kind of shocked me a little bit since I did step away.
Right.
Coming back in and seeing how many young men and, like you said, young girls also have not played football at this age yet has been a little bit of a shock. And I reached back down to my Pop Warner contacts, and they said, Matt, we used to have two junior midget teams, two peewee teams, two junior peewee teams, and now we're not fielding one team. And
there's two different aspects of that, I think, too, is football gets a bad rap for parents when they're young if they don't truly understand the safety of it, right? And if coaches are not teaching them the safety of tackling. And the helmets have came a long way. People don't truly understand that, as well as some of those youth programs have a weight limit. So some of those big kids are not bad. They're not overweight. They're too heavy to play in those leagues. They got to scrap. Right? They got. I get you don't want the big kid to
kill the little.
Ball,
yeah,
carry,
right.
But
right.
He can play center.
Yeah.
He can play guard. Right. He can play defensive tackle. Right. And some of those kids are being told they can't play because they can't cut that much weight. It's not healthy.
Well,
and they don't play until they're in ninth grade. And now we get them and they don't have a clue where they could have at least played.
That's
a detriment
exactly
to
right.
to the high schools, I think.
That's one of the reasons I really prefer the junior high mm-hmm. instead of the senior midget Pop Warner, because there is
still
no
weight
limit
yep.
for us. Now, I know there's other organizations, because some approached me when
those
I wasn't
like
coaching.
AAU and stuff.
Unrestricted weight limit or
right.
whatever it's called.
Usually not in Pop Warner, I don't think.
But I do think there's more to it, and you're probably more tuned into this than we even are, of why this is happening. What's your opinion?
I think that, you know, like, so when I coached Pop Warner at Mara for the 10 years, like same thing, like we had 15 teams representing all of them, all the age groups. And now they're four.
That's
yeah.
right.
And I think it's twofold. I think when the concussion story came out and we saw people start to step away,
yeah.
even, you know, Luke, when we talk about Luke Kuechly, who to me
prime of his career.
Is the, I will argue to whoever till I'm blue in the face, one of the best defensive players I've ever seen, if not the best, when it comes to pure
player.
Yeah, player. And no if problem. I ever had to show, if I ever had to show Pop Warner kids how to tackle, very rarely did I see Luke try to throw an elbow,
yep.
knock a guy on his butt, try to clean his clock. It was always head up. I'm gonna you know, how many missed tackles did he have? And I think that just becomes, as the years have progressed and we've gotten into that concussion stuff, and the CT and all that, that's where it's kind of gotten the bad rap to a point. But also it goes back to what you said in terms, and I'll go back and I'll tell everybody out there, if you're thinking about not letting your kid play, I coached for 10 years. In that 10 years, and I don't know how many kids I coached, one broken arm, and I think one concussion.
Yep.
Literally in the 10 years. And at the end of the day, to see it kind of dwindle to that point is sad, because the kids who I had a chance to coach and see play, there was a kid by the name of Jordan Fair who played linebacker at Providence and then went on to play at App State.
Okay.
And actually, it was during the COVID years when the NFL didn't have the preseason games. He
right.
was undrafted with the Minnesota Vikings. I think had they had that those preseason games, he'd be playing in the NFL.
Yeah,
but
who those games are for.
But that kid just like when he got signed with the Vikings and they had him on a show or whatever, and they were like, you know, is there one particular coach who, you know, hit home with you or whatever? And he mentioned me.
Right.
Wow.
Being his first, you know, Pop Warner coach.
That's what it's all about.
And I think it gets back to, I think we've kind of lost our way with coaching.
Yep.
In terms of the win first mentality, and this is a podcast, I throw it all out there. Kids just want to lay kids out.
Yeah. They've been watching TV.
And I don't think the NFL, this is going to go down a bad road. I don't think the NFL has helped in some of that, because you still get the, you know, the not so great tackling.
Right.
And I think so with the injuries and the, I think that's what's happened.
I do too.
And like I said, it's sad and it's going to hurt the game. And even the whole, you mentioned middle school, like, you know, CMS, they don't do sixth grade football.
No. But they go to the school.
But they go to the school. So my kid who played at Providence, Nate, my youngest, he had to play a year in sixth grade in Pop Warner.
Right, like our kids used to play
the same year.
And then, you know, that's right.
Yeah. And then they would play seventh grade for Bailey.
Correct. We never that's where we're at right
Giants.
Now. Still.
We always got crushed by the Giants.
Really?
Oh, we got crushed
were
all
they
the time.
Solid?
They were good.
Oh, they were.
We were good.
Mallard Creek and Lake Norman.
Yeah.
My kids would literally walk out on the field, and I would just be like,
"Really?
This is gonna be ugly."
When it came to just
now, the other Greg's kids playing a couple of now. They're the South Charlotte, I think, or something like that. But they
the Patriots,
the Patriots. Odell School is really good.
Odell Eagles.
Yeah, they're good.
But I think, and I think it's just become kind of this. And I'm going to be honest with you, and we're going to shift. This is why I love podcasts so much. And I'll just throw this at you guys. I think football, in my opinion, and I'm 56, is lost some of its purity. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, to me, Pop Warner football, you're talking about the purity of the sport.
Yep.
High school, you're still talking about the purity of the sport, but you still get kids on Instagram going, "Hey, I'm going from this school to this school."
Right.
Yep. It's high school.
Yep.
Right. Stop it. College, the transfer portal, the NIL, you know, all of that.
It's not even college.
That's ten more podcasts right
and,
there.
I'll ask you guys because I've done it on every time I've talked football, whether it's been a coach or a player. I don't like the transfer portal. I've never liked it, and that's just my two cents. But let me just preface this by saying, I don't like the transfer portal when it's kid going point A to point B to point C, and is it because the playing time? Mm-hmm. Is it the work ethic?
And, is it too hard?
But then I also understand that if I was at, you know, Colorado and Coach Prime walked in and said, "Hey, I'm bringing my dogs with me. You guys need to earn your spots," and I've been there for 3 years, I'm out the door.
You're gone.
I think the transfer portal to me, what I don't like about it per se is, and I'll go the basketball route. I remember talking to Tony Bennett, the head coach of UVA, and he said, "Look, I had six spots open this year in Virginia. Five of them were scholarships. That left me one spot for a freshman."
Yep.
So I think that just has become, when you think about the little kids now, parents are going, you know, it used to be, okay, I can play Pop Warner, I can go to middle school, I can go to high school, I can go to college, I can maybe end up in the NFL, even though it's such small numbers. But now it's like, if I'm a senior in college right now and I've busted my hump for 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, and I don't even get a glance.
No, I know.
With that, I think, that there's a couple of different aspects, I think, with the transfer portal and NIL. I think that both of them together have been an issue. Because now NIL is now allowing people to influence the portal.
Absolutely.
Right? So if you just did one or the other.
Yes. Yeah.
I get the argument of, if I'm the head coach at Miami, I can leave tomorrow without an issue. I don't have to sit out in my next school.
Right.
But I can. Right. I got to go to Elon to play.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Eligible immediately. I get that. Yeah. But now the influences of the Texases of the world, the Georgias of the world, the Alabamas of the world, the Tennessees, when they're saying they're in the portal, they don't have the do not contact tag, so anybody can contact them. And now they're saying, "You come here, we'll do three." Oh, no, Georgia said three, we'll do 4.5 in a car.
Right.
That's the problem with the transfer portal.
Right.
Kids transferring has been forever. It's hurting the JUCOs, obviously, because they're not getting those kids. And it's hurting the high school kids, like you just said, in basketball. Yeah. It's hurting those kids, but I think that they had it going in the right direction, and I think it got out of hand.
I think the regulation, what we're talking about is regulation.
It got out of hand.
And I think the regulation part of it is just, you know, and even the NIL, like you said. So I think we're losing some of the purity of what the sport.
Big time.
You know, and to me, as, you know, my family, that's the only sport that exists.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it just does. Even my wife, God bless her. And I give her credit all the time. I mean, you know, she lives with four guys or whatever, but and just long story short, so she's a Seattle Seahawks fan.
Okay.
My youngest one is a Seattle Seahawks fan. He watched them however many years ago and just and he's been a
That's
fan.
How it happens,
My oldest is a Panther fan.
Love that.
Has been. I took him out to Charlotte Motor Speedway. I don't know how many years ago. Father son worked there or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It was when Greg was driving the pace car.
Oh, we were there.
So he got to interview Greg, and it was the best day of his life.
We were all there. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. And so, long story short, and then my middle kid is a Patriots fan.
Not going great for him. Right
no,
now.
Not well. And I'm a I was a Houston Oilers fan.
Okay. That's my son's team.
Back in the day, and now I'm a Titans fan. I just have been and will always
be. He's a Texans fan.
Hate losing Derrick Henry, but
I mean,
anyway.
That was their entire offense. What were they thinking? Their offense is built around Derrick Henry.
Again, I don't, yeah, well. That's another whole podcast. But long story short, though, but like, you know, it's just we love the sport. And I just feel like it's losing.
The purity is what
it's losing its purity, too, because of I look on Instagram and there's fifth grade rankings.
No, I know.
Right, yeah,
I think
like,
that plays
well,
I get in high school, they're going to rank the guys they have to. They're going to college.
Sure.
Rivals, that's how they make them. But, like, in sixth grade, and I'm the 20th ranked quarterback in the world, like, what?
So you have your passing camp.
Yeah.
The Olsen passing camp, correct?
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about that, because I'm going to get over to you in a second. Let's talk about that, because I have another question for you.
Okay.
But talk to me about that. How did that kind of come about?
So I started, I always knew quarterback was kind of my specialty. Obviously played it, kind of studied it and that stuff, and offense in general. And I always knew that, you know, training quarterbacks and stuff was going to be something that I wanted to have, you know, interest in and kind of thought about it and mold it over and then, you know, kind of hit the ground running with the OPA or Olsen Passing Academy. And now I have, you know, 30, 40, 50 clients on a, you know, week to week, you know, everything is so different. Schedules are so crazy, 7-on-7 now and all that stuff. But I have, you know, I had three of the top five passing quarterbacks this year, passing yards and completions and everything along those lines. You guys actually called the game Hickory. That's my quarterback.
Yeah.
So I train him, a couple other guys, and it's taken off pretty well. You know, and again, just to kind of help, and it's more of a one-on-one or small group type feel.
Sure.
So I really feel like I'm even affecting, you know, or influencing positively them more than even in bigger groups or as a coach on an 80-kid team or whatever.
Right. So we talk about the quarterback side of it, though. But, like, and we talk about, you mentioned fifth graders getting ranked and stuff. But even, is it too young for eighth graders to be taking trips to Ole Miss and Alabama? And or is that just where we're at?
I think I've had this conversation with my brother a
and
lot,
how can
too.
We, how, I mean, are you that good at, I mean, I don't know.
I've had that conversation with my brother a lot about, I think it's twofold. If it's almost like a keeping up with the Joneses, right? Because the other eighth graders are doing it.
Right.
So if I'm not, am I behind? It's like specializing in a sport. We all play three sports.
Right.
But Johnny Jones is the best shortstop in the league, and he only plays baseball. He doesn't play football and basketball.
Right.
So do we have to do that for him to be really good too?
Right.
Because if you don't, now you're jack of all, you're good in everything, but you're not great, right? You're a good basketball player, you're a good football player, unless you're the elite athlete in town.
Right.
Right? Like our quarterback at Huff. He could play them all forever. Unless you're that elite athlete, the whole like specializing all that stuff is coming up, and it's you either keep up with them and do it, or if you don't, you're gonna be left behind.
Right.
So I think that's a twofold thing. Like those eighth graders, they get invited there. I say go.
Go. At least enjoy the experience.
They might not talk
experience.
To you because you're in eighth grade.
Right. But right? You're there.
And you're a tag along, or they, you know, you're because the five star, your brother, or your kid on your team, or your coach. Go.
Right.
Because if not, the other kids are.
Right.
And you know, to that point, like. It's all recently changed a lot more. I mean, we've kind of seen it coming down tracks. But 10 years ago, I was doing collegiate recruiting. I was helping high schoolers get like 2A, 3A, NAIA, that kind of stuff.
Right.
I was helping them out. Girl at Mountain Creek was a great success story. We got her a scholarship down in South Florida. But my point is like those coaches back then when I spoke to them, the college coaches, they wanted all-around athletes. They preferred what other sports do they play.
And they
can
say
I see,
they want
them?
That now.
Right.
I don't think
but I don't think they do anymore.
They say, yeah, go do that. No, you don't.
So that's a fine line right there.
Or you tell that kid to play basketball, but you want him to come in mid-year.
Right. That's
tell that kid
point.
To play baseball.
See, well,
I want you to play baseball, but I want you to come in January. So which one is it?
Well, and, you know.
Can't be both.
I think, and when we talk about the period of the sport, too, changing, even in high school, you know, I know, like, even from when my oldest played at Providence to my youngest playing at Providence.
Which was what years?
2013 through 2016 for my for my oldest.
Yep.
And then Nate played. Nate only played 2 years.
Okay.
He played. Gosh, I don't know.
We came down and played you guys 1 year. I don't remember what year it was.
Well, Nate played Coach Ward's first year.
Okay.
So just like, and then his second year was the spring. The spring schedule
because
of COVID.
Yeah.
And they actually were co-champs of their conference.
Yeah, they're
Nate played center.
Okay.
But what I get is from when Jack played to when Nate played, you know, basically the season ended and a week later, you're back at it.
Yep.
You're doing
That's
this.
Exactly
you're weightlifting.
Right.
You're doing this. You've got Zoom meetings. You've got team meetings. You've got player meetings.
Year round.
And he's like, you know, and to be and people know because I've told this story, it just burned him out. He stopped playing his junior year, and I remember, and he sat me down. He just said, "I want to enjoy my junior year." And I think he knew he wasn't going to go. He had gone to like a couple of camps at Randolph Macon. He went to Coach Beamer's camp. And Nate, you know, great story. Nate didn't make his seventh grade team at Crestdale. Okay. Got in the car, and I was, you know, just bawling because that's what dads do when your kid gets hurt or whatever. Not a tear in his eye. I said, "Now what?" He goes, "We go to work."
And
we met a guy by the name of Glenn DeVoe. I don't know if y'all know Glenn or not. He runs a thing called Camp Lyman. Anyway, he started working with Glenn.
Yeah.
Eighth grade, made the team at Crestdale. Was a center. 5'6", 140 pounds.
Love it.
Was the third string center. By game three or four, he was starting.
Amen.
Went to Providence and played his freshman year as the center at for starting JV.
Right.
5'6", still 150, 160 pounds. But then in between there and there, I guess he hit his growth spurt.
Right.
COVID hit. He bought his own weight set.
So he was in it.
And he went to about five. He went from like, he got to about 5'9", 170, 175 pounds or whatever. But he was the starting center for the varsity.
Wow. As a sophomore.
As a sophomore. At five, whatever.
For a team that's not. I mean, they're playing football.
You know, played with a kid
playing real teams.
Played with a kid named Connor Drake.
Yep.
Who now is at Old Dominion or whatever.
Yep.
But that offensive line averaged about 300.
Their running back last year ran the ball for 500 yards.
Luke Bailey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In one game.
Yeah. He had 9 touchdowns.
Right before the game we played them.
Yeah.
Two years ago.
Yeah. But long story short, it's just what you're doing is so important. And I want to go back to you because it's encouraging the kids. Like, so talk to me a little bit about your deal.
One thing real quick about his deal, because I've been there to watch it. What he's doing with these, he trains my son. My son just started playing quarterback last year, okay? Before that, he was a running back and a D-back. And what, just watching, I step away.
Right.
Because it's perfect for me, because I'm not going to try to train him to be a quarterback.
Step away?
What? Yeah.
It's hard.
I do.
Unless I need him to catch.
Yeah, there we go.
But what he's able to do with these kids out there, individually, you can watch, like, 2 weeks later, their progression. But he's doing on-field and off-field, right? He's able to relate. That's what he's so great at, too. He's able to relate with these guys.
Right.
So, because so many things have changed. And, like, my wife and I, like I told you, we started a company. Team Terse is the name of our. We started as an after-school athletic program. And the only thing that we were doing was getting kids active after school.
Right.
Because
instead of going home playing the video games.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
You know how many times in my math class I hear, "I can't wait to go and play Fortnite." Look outside, it's 80 and sunny.
Nobody's playing outside. Okay, so that's why we started it, because of everything that us three
know
about what's
going
on.
Sure, just for being a human being and healthy.
And then I started looking at it a little bit closer, and I started saying, my football players that I coach, these other kids, they're fighting battles we never fought. We didn't have social media. I know that he probably did, but we didn't have social media growing up playing football. So now these kids are influenced by social media, video games. That's why even coaching, like you talked about for how long you coached, it's so different now of how you resonate with a kid and what you have to do.
Right.
There's very little screaming, yelling,
yep.
Go do this. They will look at you and say, "No, I'm not doing that." So you have to massage things a little bit. It's not really their fault. I don't believe it's their fault, okay? Because if you're given the keys to the computer and the laptop for unlimited amount of hours, that's instant gratification. That says, now I never talk like this, but my son's a throwback. He is old school. He lifts weights on his own like yours did. He does all these things outside. He runs on track team and he loves it. But my wife and I decided, so what else can we do? So we started mentoring kids. And what I told you way back 15 years ago when I was in Central Florida helping eighth graders go to ninth grade, now I'm helping kids in any sport they would like to play just understand what's coming their way.
Right.
Nutrition, sleep, working out, all of that. And that's what we're doing right now. And so where he's a specialty, like this guy is a guru in my book when it comes to working with quarterbacks.
Right.
I'm more at this point, I'm just trying to help kids. Because if you just throw your kid into a high school team and that maybe they have limited playing before that or maybe none, like we've talked about, it's not just a sport we're dealing with now. You know, it's the grades. It's everything.
It's a culture.
It's a culture.
Yeah. It's what their home
and,
life is
and
like.
We'll talk about.
Yeah, they don't have a. They don't have a mentor. They don't have they a don't thought. Have a they don't have a figure, a leader figure, and all that stuff goes hand in hand.
That's right. And that's what we're trying to do at BCLA, right? Yep. Bonnie Cohen Classical Academy. And Kevin can tell you he's a math teacher there, and he's also, you know, he can teach history and everything else. Yep. He can teach. We're trying to help grow the culture, right? Because yep. Jennifer Magnette, the director of the school, is on the exact same thought process that we are. And yep. and he's in there every
she's
day,
great.
And he can tell about it.
Yep.
And how do you see it going inside the school with the student athletes, the football players, the...
I think it's also a special situation, too, because there really isn't any culture.
Not
in
yet.
My opinion.
You're establishing it.
Yes.
There you go.
As opposed to, like, even, like, take,
which is
example,
easy, probably.
Jets,
it's easier.
Example,
it's probably easier.
They had a losing culture forever.
Where was that?
The Jets.
Okay,
Coach saw that.
It's hard to peel that onion, you know, back
yep.
as opposed to just starting fresh and building it. Because, like I always say, when you take over or you start at a school that had bad losing culture, not just losing culture, but just bad culture.
Yep.
We don't act right. We don't show up on time. Mm-hmm. We're in the principal's office. We're suspended. We're in after school detention. The teacher told me you said this to him or whatever. Those, it goes so much hand in hand with what, you know, what is actually going on. Starting it from scratch, not having to peel back the, you know, the bad, so much bad to then start from scratch. Starting from the ground up is so much easier to start a culture.
Yeah,
I think. You know.
And then we go back to the NIL and the portal that you were talking about. Do you guys think, like, I wanted to ask you this when we're talking about it. Is this why some of the older coaches are stepping away? Because
I think
it's too much?
Oh,
college?
I heard Mick Cronin talk about this transfer portal, and he's not
Chip
a
Kelly.
Fan of it. Yeah. Well, what about
what makes
what about,
Kelly leave being a head coach?
Right.
Go be the OC for whoever.
Right, so he doesn't have to deal with all
doesn't
that.
Doesn't have to deal with it.
I think twofold. I think... like, and I can't remember when, you know, Nick Saban said he walked away because, like, what was his kids were saying and doing in the locker room after they lost.
Yep.
You know, it's one of the reasons he said he walked away.
Yep.
I think that just becomes, for me, you know, it's old school versus new school.
Right.
And I think that, to a point, and what I'm getting at is, like, I go back to, and people who watch my podcast, and we talked, I'm a Titans fan.
Right.
The Titans and Oilers, Titans, whatever, have always been line it up.
Let's play.
Run it down your throat. We're going to send Derrick Henry at you.
Anywhere,
you know, you talk about Earl Campbell, Eddie George, Derrick Henry.
Eric Dickerson.
You know, the mentality, at least when we grew up, was I'm going to line up 11 guys.
Yep.
And even when I coached Pop Warner.
That's right.
I threw twice.
Right.
That was their
maybe.
Identity. They got a coach.
If not,
his identity.
And right.
Yeah.
We're going to line up and we're going to play football.
You know it's coming, but you still can't stop.
And now you get, you know, these guys who come in. And the NFL to me nowadays is, if you don't have that quarterback who can sling it and throw 50 times. And I think for some coaches, with the game changing to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I
what
think
it's changed to.
That's what and they're like, I can't coach that.
Right.
That's not me. That's not
my
you know.
Style.
I think you know if you've got you know.
Really, Saban transitioned to that, didn't he?
Well, he transitioned. The only because what he said. So usually when you walked in Saban's office and before transferring and really NIL more than transfer. Kids weren't transferring from Bama without money.
Right. No.
Right? So you it used to be you walk in his office. He offers you. You're going there.
Right.
He said,
no
hey, question. Wait.
Yeah.
He could hold his guys. But some of those kids, even though I love Coach Saban and I love playing with Tua and Mac Jones and Jalen. Okay, great. But that school offered me $5 million, and you offered me $2 million, and my family needs it.
Yeah.
And now Saban can't keep his kids there anymore because their family or whoever, whatever. Everybody's situation is different, but that's where he really got his word didn't mean anymore. Stay. He couldn't control it. And he left it.
So I think that the way the game, like I said, that and the game has changed. You know,
yeah.
if you're in the NFL, you know, the teams that are successful are wide open, you know, like.
Yeah, with exception to the Titans.
Except for we were the only team that would like, you know.
And it worked. So other teams tried it and it didn't
right.
work.
Yeah, you had all the
Jonathan
pieces.
Taylor, that
yep.
didn't work.
Yep.
Derrick
they're
Henry
the
was,
one exception to the
yep.
rule. If you can't throw the ball, you cannot win in modern NFL football. Everybody, like even on TV, I hear guys saying, got to run the ball. You don't need to establish the run. You throw the ball to run.
To run.
Yeah.
But it was vice versa for the, you know, I mean, and back when Derrick was, and I still think he's listening. I think he's going to go crazy with Baltimore. I think it'll be awesome.
No question.
But, you know, and they would run it 30 times a game. Nobody in the NFL would run a ball.
He was the exception to the new rule.
Because they knew fourth quarter, they were going to wear you out.
Yeah.
So I think that has a lot to do with it that way. So you guys combined are putting together a camp.
Yes, we're putting together a camp. It's going to be hosted at Bonnie Cone Leadership Academy. Details on dates, we're looking at anywhere from 10 days from now to 45 days from now. There's a lot we talked about earlier, 7-on-7 going on.
Yep.
A lot of things going on right now. We want to make sure we do
people get back from spring break.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have 7-on-7 in other sports.
Yeah.
Other sports. We have a lot of great people that are going to be with us. We have mental strength coach. We have a all-conference guard tackle. We have other coaches, high-level coaches. Coach Olson be here. And so we're going to have a two-day camp. It's going to be basically 8 a.m. to noon, Saturday and a Sunday. And our website, at, if I'm allowed,
have at
www.teamturse.com. We'll have all the details on the camp. So if you go on there, also Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah, you got social media.
Social media, yes. And Coach Olson and I have partnered, and he'll tell you about his independent camps of that. But it's nice to be hosting a camp at a new facility where people, like when you ask, where's that? A lot of people have no clue where we are. And so other kids can come. It's open to anybody. You know, rising 7th graders to 11th graders are going to come and work out for two days and be a lot of fun.
Cool.
We have music and all kinds of stuff going on.
What you got coming up? I know you got that in combination.
So we have that, and then June 21st. Oh, can I check real quick?
Absolutely.
June, it's going to be the last week of June 24th through the 27th, so 4 days. We have our back to basics. So my dad started a camp. We were you know, campers, then counselors, all in New Jersey, called Back to Basics, where he would hold it every summer at our high school. And, you know, you turned in from, like I said, campers to then, you know, counselors to then moving on. And we brought it down here. When he moved down here, him and my mom moved down here to be by kind of whole family in this area-ish. So we started it down here. We took a year off last year, but we're coming back now for 1 week. We usually hold it at a few different spots, but we're going to come back from the 24th to the 27th. It's 9 to 12:30 Monday through Thursday. And it's usually a good, and it's called Back to Basics, you know, for a reason. Like we were mentioning, you know, prepping earlier of, you know, they're going to come and they're going to learn, right? There's not going to be a lot of, you know, it's going to be fun. We're going to play games at the end, touch football, all that kind of stuff. But they're going to learn some valuable tips, not only in life skills, right? We'll have speakers. We'll have Luke Kuechly and Christian McCaffrey, if he's here, and all those kind of guys that Greg has, you know, the contacts with, and I have the contacts with, to kind of just come out and speak, and, you know, just plays to our mantra, and plays to our, you know, role of trying to help the young kids, right? Have them approached, you know, and surrounded and spoken to by people that have done it,
right?
People they know that I've seen on TV, right? And they say, no, you can do it. Like, that goes a long way. Like, hearing people say you can do it, as opposed to,
that's a big one,
you know, you can't, right? Yep. Like even in teaching, right? Like my first day is, you can, the one stuff you're gonna do to get a good grade. You do this stuff, you'll get a good grade, as opposed to everybody else that's, if you don't do this, you're gonna fail. If you don't do this, you're gonna fail. That doesn't work.
Yep.
Right.
Right? So I think all that kind of stuff is gonna be great. They'll have a great time at that week. And then July 20th, the next month, July 20th at same school, BC, LA, we'll have our quarterback camp. So my buddy and I, Balin, Trujillo, he and I run quarterback camps all over the country. He's got a pretty big following down in South Florida, so we run one down there, and then up here too as well, now that we have the field and the space kind of all hosted by Bonnie Cone, which is great, you know, the leadership, and Miss Magnette, the director, and everybody's really behind it. So
yeah, and during these camps, Miss Magnette's opening the door, so students can come and tour the building.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Brand new. It's beautiful. We have an upper and a lower school on campus.
Yep,
so the fantastic. Lower school is K-6, and the upper school is 7-12.
And it's a brand new building, not a capacity. It's just a great atmosphere, a great place
question.
To be.
Yep. And you're welcome out anytime.
Yeah.
We'd love to.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely hook up when
spring ball.
We'll definitely do that.
Of course.
Matt?
Such a
thanks
great
for your time, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate
so much.
It. Kevin?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank
appreciate
you, bro.
Thanks for all you guys do. Make sure you check out them on social media. Check out their camps. Check out BayHacklesports.com. We'll, of course, keep you up to date on all of that through our website, through our YouTube channel, through the podcast, and through all our social media. So thanks for joining us on this edition of the 704 High School Highlight Podcast. Make sure, like I said, like, subscribe, comment. We'd love to keep in touch. And until next time, have a great day.